to have shalom today. In Jesus' name. All God's people said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. On Thursday, February 24th, 2022, that was the day that Russia launched an invasion of Ukraine, sending troops into the ex-Soviet nation from three fronts. Kind of didn't see that one coming. And then during that time till today would be day number 24 of this ongoing war. And since it began till today, there have been four attempts at what is called a peace talk. The first peace talk happened on Monday, February 28th, just 4 days after the war began. And both sides were trying to come to an agreement. They were sitting down at the table. They were talking to one another. And they were trying to resolve this issue. And while Ukraine was really wanting peace, Russia, on the other hand, increased. On the very day that they're talking peace, Russia increased strikes on Ukrainian airfields and logistics centers in an apparent attempt to ground Ukrainian air force and disrupt resupply from the nations to the west. So on the very day that they're talking peace, Russia increases strikes. The second attempt was made March 3rd on a Thursday. Russia and Ukraine in that meeting agreed to allow civilians to evacuate. All right? Imagine you're sitting at the table. Listen, we want our civilians to evacuate. No problem. On that very day, Russia, they bombed a hospital, killing three Ukrainians. Air fighters targeted Ukrainian apartment buildings, killing another 33. We'll let your civilians go, no problem, but we're going to kill them. Not even give them an opportunity. Okay. Third attempt at a peace talk. Ukraine calls for a ceasefire and security guarantees. On that very day, Russia hits the key southeastern Ukrainian city and they surround it. Electricity, water supply, heating was cut off. They bomb government buildings, kindergartens, and schools. Fourth attempt, March 17th. President Zelensky listed six things that he wanted. He quote, "My priorities in the negotiations are absolutely clear. The end of the war, security guarantees, sovereignty, restoration of territorial integrity, real guarantees for our country, real protection for our country as well." Six things. This is what we're asking for, and we're hoping that you would, you know, be kind enough to do that. Russia, on that very day, starts blowing up more apartment buildings. That was the first time an American was killed. Then yesterday, Zelensky one more time begged to be able to sit down with Moscow and say, please, let's have peace. Russia, what do? Russia claims to have fired its Dagger, the first hypersonic ballistic missile, for the first time during the invasion. Peace talks? Are you serious? Do you think this wicked man wants anything to do with peace? We have to pray for him, don't get me wrong. We have to pray for all leaders. But it's been clear, there's no desire to have peace. He sat down at the table four times, or his constituents sat down four times to talk peace, and every time they talk peace, there's nothing but more harm that's being done to the Ukrainian people. Can somebody say we need to pray for the Ukrainian people? And listen, for the Russian people too. Not all the Russian people are on board with this, trust me. But this is under the guise of supposed peace. Putin does not want peace. He wants to plunder. That's been his objective all along. And if, and I don't know, but if they are successful in going in and taking over Ukraine, this could be, and I'm putting it out there as a possibility, this could be the start of the Ezekiel 38:39 prophecy, something that was prophesied thousands of years ago about Russia. And this could be the part of Ukraine, could be part of the ancient Magog and Gog and Magog. So this could be the fulfillment of that. I'm not saying it is, but I'm just saying, boy, we have to keep our eyes open and we have to pray. So peace, what is this peace really all about? Some people, you know, having a stress-free day, that's peace. And I'm down with that. I'm down for stress-free days. I don't know about you. Amen, brother. Some people say the absence of war, that constitutes peace. And that's part of it, I agree with that. Others get into a Zen mode. Listen, I'm all for a state of mind that's cool. I'm down with that, you know? That's part of the peace. And other people think peace is being able to see the sunrise. And I don't know about you, but being able to sit on a beach and just lay there and hear the waves come in, hear the little birds doing their little things, that is very peaceful. Amen? I love that. These are all kinds of peace. I agree 100%, but there's more to peace than meets the eye. The biblical concept of peace is a little bit more. And it's found in this word. Can somebody say shalom?
Shalom.
It's found in this Hebrew word, shalom. That's the Hebrew word for peace. That's the biblical concept of peace. It's shalom. If you were to go to Israel today, or even Jewish places in New York City, when Jewish people talk to one another, the first thing they say is shalom aleichem. Turn to somebody again. Shalom aleichem. Hebrew University, you just passed. You'll get your certificates later on. Now, when they say this, when they say shalom aleichem, what is it that they're really trying to say or convey? What they're saying is, how's your peace? How is it with your soul? Isn't that incredible? How's your peace? Or they may be actually pronouncing, this is another aspect of shalom aleichem, they're pronouncing like a double blessing on you. They say, may health and prosperity be upon you. Or may you be full of well-being. That's what's involved in shalom, in God's peace. God's desire for you and for me is for our well-being. God's desire for you and for myself is prosperity, blessing, internal peace, internal blessing. He wants to be the absence of war with inside of your soul. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He wants you to be in good health and prosper even as your soul prospers. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He wants you to be blessed. And so this is what the Jewish people do. When they're passing each other and when they're saying shalom aleichem, they're putting a blessing. They're saying, I'm pronouncing a blessing on you. I want you to be good. I want you to be healthy. I want you to prosper. What a mindset to have. Imagine if all the American people had that kind of mindset, even within the church. Amen. You know, what's amazing is that Jesus used this terminology. How many of you know that Jesus was Jewish?
Amen.
All right, yeah. We'll give a lesson on the Jewishness of Jesus next week. But Jesus was Jewish. He was born in Israel. He was born in the tribe of Judah, or, you know, with a Nazarene We heard about Pastor Steve bring that up last week or 2 weeks ago. So Jesus was Jewish. And when Jesus died and rose again, his disciples were afraid and they met up in this room because they were afraid that what happened to Jesus, the same thing was going to happen to them. They were waiting for the authorities to come and take them away. And they were scared and they were locked in this room. And then Jesus appears to them for the first time. And what does he said? Look at John chapter 20, verse 19. When the disciples were gathered together behind locked doors out of fear of the Judeans, Jesus came, stood in the middle and said, what?
Shalom.
Shalom Alechem. Peace be to you. Hey guys, you're fearful. I don't want you to be fearful. Shalom Alechem. Let there be well-being. Let there be peace passed on to you. Be mentally, emotionally okay. I'm here. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. He spoke the word. So shalom is the word that brings inner tranquility. True shalom is the absence of inner fear. The absence of anxiety. Jesus had the disciples' well-being in mind. He wanted them to be free from every anxiety, from every fear. He wanted them to experience well-being and prosperity and health, even emotional, physical, and mental health. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
This was the idea that David had thousands of years before that. Israel was going to fight against the Philistines. Remember Goliath, that big guy? And David's brothers were out there in the battlefield. And David was home tending the sheep. Good little 16-year-old boy. Good little Jewish boy. Oy. He was sitting there and his father got concerned for his kids. And he says, listen, I want you to go bring some bread. I want you to bring some cheese to your brothers. Go ask them how their shalom is. Go ask them how their well-being is. So David got there, he left everything behind, and he went to his brothers, and he said, how is your shalom? How is it with your soul? How are you guys doing? How are you faring out in this battlefield? We know that you're under a lot of pressure, but that is the concept, one concept of shalom, and there's more to this as well. The second concept of shalom is to be complete and to be whole. Joshua was told to build an altar with whole stones. What does that mean? Shalom stones. If anybody knows construction, if you build a wall, right? This was to be a wall that was to be complete, no holes, no barriers, no anything wrong with the wall. It had to be a complete wall, intact. That is the other idea of shalom. Shalom is to have absolute wholeness and completeness within oneself. Not to be broken, to be like a wall, to be sturdy. Amen? That's the second concept, to be complete with no gaps like a wall, no missing bricks, no nothing. Job looked on his field and he could see all of the herd before him, his thousands of sheep, his thousands of camel. He could look at his house, inside his house. No one had robbed him. It was complete. There was wholeness there. Nobody had touched it. That's the idea. And Job felt comfortable because he looked out and he had shalom when he looked over everything. Everything was intact and in place. The core idea is that life is complex, full of moving parts, complex relationships, difficult situations that you and I are going to face, sometimes on a daily basis, right? When that wholeness, listen, when you're starting your day and everything is going great, there's wholeness, there's peace, there's shalom. But suddenly you get a call from the nurse at school. My kid's sick. Ouch. You wake up and you go out to the car. You're getting ready to go to work. Get out of here, you demon. No, it's the car. It doesn't. You can't. You pray over it. But the thing is that all of a sudden something is coming and interrupting your shalom. It's like having that brick wall and somebody punches that brick wall and suddenly there's a hole there. There's a breach. It's not whole anymore, is it?
No.
It's not complete anymore, right? That's what happens when you and I go through life. There's going to be moments when you and I are faced with times that there's something like the devil punching at us, trying to disturb our peace, our completeness, our wholeness. Right? And when that happens, something is taken out and we're missing something. We're missing that peace again. So how do you get that peace back? Anybody? Amen. When that peace is taken out, it needs to be replaced. It needs to be restored. Right? You don't want it to be broken all the time, right? You don't want to go through life frazzled. You don't want to go through life with anxiety. And you don't want to have these missing pieces. You don't want to have that peace taken out of you, do you? It has to be replaced and it has to be restored. In the Old Testament, if you had an animal and an ox, and the ox broke through a fence of your neighbor's, do you say, oh, well, that's tough luck for you? Would you like that? Would you imagine if somebody came and a car came and busted through your fence and then backed up and said, oh, well, ciao, nice seeing you, I gotta go now. How would you take that? Your peace was just interrupted, wasn't it? And you're hoping that the individual who did this would make restitution, would replace it. And in the Old Testament, that's called also shalom. When the neighbor came and fixed that fence, they were restoring it like it was. They were allowing shalom to come back. Amen? That's what you and I need. Sometimes we go through life and we're broken. And somebody comes and they'll say some nasty things to you and about you. And it's not really nice. And they'll breach you. They'll breach that heart. They'll breach inside. And that day you were having a great day. And all of a sudden they come and they do this to you. And there's a breach and there's a brokenness that needs to be restored. What does the Bible say? Listen, if you're at odds with your brothers and sisters, what do you do? You go to them, you ask forgiveness, you make restitution again. Because in God's mind, that's more important than offering up worship, than offering up tithes. It's about getting your relationship right with one another. Amen? Amen. Our relationship is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. It's horizontal and vertical. But let me tell you something, when you and I are out of whack, it's not going to go so good this way, is it? Has to go well this way and that way. We need to make restitution with one another. We need to make amends with one another. We need to sit down and say, you know what? I offended you. I broke that wall. I came into your life and I said nasty things about you, and I'm sorry. I need to make restitution with you. I need things to be restored. Amen?
Amen.
Same thing with Solomon's temple when he completed it. Same words that's used there. 1 Kings chapter 9, 25, when Solomon took that unfinished temple and he completed it, there was shalom because it was whole now. You're getting the idea of shalom, aren't you? So shalom is restoration, restitution, it's replacement. It's really a blessing, right? But how about human relationships? When we go against each other, like I just said, does that need to be fixed? Absolutely. And the beautiful thing is, even if we make amends with an enemy, we can have shalom. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 17, when a person's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at shalom with him. Restitution of relationships. You know, husbands and wives, when you argue, you need to get back into relationship, don't you? Kids with their families, when you mess up and you do something against mom and dad, you need to make amends with mom and dad, right? To get restoration back again, right? We all need it in our relationship, co-workers. And what happens when there's a restoration? Well, the people are no longer arguing. I love it when a husband and wife, they're bickering, they're at odds with each other. One's out the back door, one's out the front door. They don't want to talk to one another. But then they come together and there's restitution, restoration, reconciliation, and they start smooching again, they start hugging again. Oh, look at mommy and daddy. But it's beautiful because now they're together. Now they're a team again. And boy, oh boy, men and women, boys and girls, young men, old men, when you get into a relationship, this is so important. You got to learn how to say, I'm sorry. And guys, do me a favor. Always be the one to say you're sorry, because most of the times you're always wrong. So when anything happens, just say, honey, I'm sorry. And she'll be like, for what? I don't know. But this is going forward. I'm paying it forward. I'm sorry. Restoration. God loves reconciliation. God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself. Amen? God's all about reconciliation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why? God wants to be reconciled. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why? Because God loves people, and God wants to be reconciled with people always. Even when we're in broken relationship with God, what does he say? I want nothing to do with you. He says, confess your faults one to another. Say you're sorry to me, and I will be faithful and just to forgive you. Just like that. You know, I was raised in the Catholic Church. I'm still getting over that. But I was raised in the Catholic Church. And boy, oh boy, I remember one time I messed up big time. And, you know, the priest was like, well, you got to go say confession. I was like, oh, okay. So I got in there, Father, forgive me for I've done such and such. Oh, how you doing? I was kind of like that. And he says, okay. He says, go say three of these, four of these. Go kneel down, drink some wine, do something. So I go out there, and this particular day, we were in grammar school, this particular day, we had to sit in front of the priest that was outside and say these prayers. And I didn't know him. And I sat in front of him. I was like, this is going to be rough. And he would mumble the words, and I'd mumble them back. He'd do it again. I'd say it again. And I got through it, and I was sweating because I'm thinking, boy, this is tough. But, you know, when I got to the Bible and I read the words of the Bible, if you confess your sins, that's my part, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I thought, this is too easy. Mm-hmm. And God's word makes it easy. Sometimes it's so easy, it's hard to do.
That's right.
When you have somebody who's so stuck in religion and you tell them, you don't have to do this and you don't have to do that, Jesus just says, do this. Oh, wow. Can it be that simple? Amen. Confess your sins and you... call Jesus Lord and you will be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Well, what? That's it. You mean I don't have to climb up a bunch of stairs at the Vatican anymore and say prayers after prayer? I don't have to sit in the back and stand up and kneel and do all... Nope. Wipe it away, John. And it was amazing because I asked this priest who was 80-something years old. I had a list. I said, Padre, because the Bible says, call no man father. I said, Padre, I said, just curious, can you show me in the Bible the doctrine of transubstantiation? That's a Catholic doctrine. Nope. Oh, can you tell me where it's demanded that I have to go to a priest and confess my sins to him in order to be forgiven? Just show me in the Bible, because you guys preach the word, right? It's not in the Bible. I said, oh, okay, let's go easier. I said, how about the celibacy of nuns and priests? I said, I mean, if I really want to serve God, do I have to be celibate? I mean, can't I just do it without being celibate? Show me that in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. I went through 18 questions, and every time I asked him to show me in the Bible, he said, it's not in the Bible. And I said, so where is it? He said, well, the Vatican Council. I said, so you mean man made this stuff up? And he said, yeah. I said, oh, gracias, de nada. Ci vediamo, ciao, I'm buying. Because I figured, you know, if somebody's going to say that they speak for God, yet they can't find it in the Word of God, I'm going to take a risk and just stick to the Word of God, and it's just going to be between God and me. Right? I don't know how I got off on that. That's just, the preachers, they do that sometimes, so be patient with us. So shalom, just what does it mean? There's a blessing on it. It's a heartfelt desire to see one physically and emotionally prosperous and healthy. God's peace is one that makes one complete and whole. Nothing missing, wholeness. Shalom is replacing what was missing when a breach is made. It just automatically comes in. Restoring what was damaged or broken. Reconciling those who are opposed to one another. That's peace. So when they talk about peace treaties, and you don't see them working with one another, and you don't see them trying to bring wholeness to one another, and completeness and health, and have each other's best benefit involved, do yourself a favor. That is not a peace treaty. That is not real, genuine peace. Peace is seen in action. So where did this kind of peace? Because we know people can talk, humans can talk of peace. But where does this kind of peace, this shalom, come from? When a person's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at shalom with him. The Apostle Paul said that God is the source of shalom. God is the source of peace. Listen, there's so many people, and my heart breaks for people. Anti-anxiety medications, billions of dollars that are being spent, and don't get me wrong, I get it. Folks need to take it, I get it. So please don't send me hate mail, like pastors speaking against that. My words get twisted sometimes, like I can't even believe it. I can't be more plainer. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying I sympathize, I empathize with people. I really do. Because I get it. I get what the anxiety people are going through. I get the heartbreak people are going through. When COVID came, do you know the spike that went up with anti-anxiety medications? People are hurting out there. And God is the source of all peace. Amen? God understands the broken relationship individuals have with him. God understands that there's a breach and that there's a gap, that sin has separated us from God. And God knows people are out there hurting. People are out there who are lacking peace, who do not have completeness. God sees into their hearts, and he can see the vacuum that's in that heart. He can see the stone walls that have broken down, that there's no completeness, no wholeness in their lives. But God loves us so much that he just doesn't leave us like that. Amen? He made a way. It was prophesied thousands of years ago by the prophet Isaiah. God had a plan. He said, I see the brokenness of people. I see the breach in people's hearts. I see the need for peace and shalom in their hearts. And what am I going to do? I'm going to send someone. Behold, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall rest upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Shalom, Peace. Amen. This was the one Isaiah prophesied, and thousands of years later, Jesus came. And the Apostle Paul, writing about Jesus, says, for Jesus himself is our shalom. He is our peace. He has united us by breaking down the wall of hatred that separated us. Through his body on the cross, he brought an end to the commandments and demands found in Moses' teaching, so that he could take the Jewish and the non-Jewish people and create one new humanity in himself and thus make shalom. Right? Black lives matter, this life matter, that life matter. They're going to try to keep coming together and having reconciliation. It's not going to happen without Jesus. Because Jesus is our peace. When you find Jesus, then you find peace. When you find Jesus, then there can be reconciliation. Up until that point, it's going to be great. You can have all the organizations you want. And you can have all the things that you want to do out there. But there's not going to be genuine peace and harmony without Jesus. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He is the one who has a heartfelt desire to see us physically, emotionally prosperous and healthy. He is the one who makes us complete. He is the one who makes us whole. He is the one who replaces what's missing. He is the one who restores what has been damaged and broken. He is the one who has and always does reconcile us to the Father. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Not we could have. Through Christ, we have peace with God. The brokenness is now made whole. That relationship that sin came and destroyed, Jesus came, covered and washed us in his blood, and now we have freedom and wholeness and completeness with the Father. We have access unto the Father through one Spirit. Hallelujah! I'm feeling a little Pentecostal, sorry. He is our shalom. He is our peace. He is the one who brings peace. I remember so many years ago, how many of you love going into an MRI? Into one of those, what do you call those little? No, raise your hand, seriously. How many of you love it? No? Nobody? Okay. So many years ago, I don't know if this is 20 years ago, whatever. I did something to my body, construction, whatever, banged my head. I don't know what I did, but I had to go into one of these little tunnel things. And let me tell you something, I was a bit bigger then, and my shoulders were a little bit out. And I looked at this guy and I said, am I going to fit in there? And he goes, yeah, sure. I said, okay. I said, what happens if I get like a panic? Is it like a panic button? He goes, nah. He goes, don't worry. We're listening. You want some music pumped in? I said, no music. I said, but you can see me. You can hear me. He goes, yep, we can see everything. How long? About 45 minutes. I got to stay in there for 45 minutes? Yeah. I did not like it. I did not want to go through with it. And I got in there. Peace like a river.
Hallelujah.
In my soul, it is well. With my soul, it is well. It is well with my soul. The Spirit of God was singing inside of me. And they actually called, Mr. DiGiorgio, you okay? They didn't hear a peep. No, I'm good.
Amen.
When Christ comes to dwell inside of you, you'll be confronted at moments with things you just don't comprehend, with fear, and God suddenly will rise up within you. My mom, I visited her. She was on death's door. It was a Wednesday, and I had Bible study that night. I had seen her that afternoon, went and taught the Bible study, and as I was leaving, it was like the Lord said, give her to me. I wasn't going to go. It was late at night, and I just felt the Lord say, give her to me. And I thought that was the strangest thing I've ever heard. And I said, Lord, she's yours. I can't save her. She's in a comatose state. I can't do anything. I give her to you. I went home that night. I actually went to bed with calmness, which was strange. I couldn't understand it. 12 o'clock, I get a phone call. Mr. DiGiorgio, I'm sorry to tell your mother. Passed on. Love lifted me when nothing else could do. Love lifted me. And I thought, this is the strangest thing. My mom just died. And there's a song, Love Lifted Me. And it was almost like the Holy Spirit was communicating, love lifted her.
Amen.
And she's with me now.
Hallelujah.
And there was peace. I can't describe it. That's why the Bible says God's peace passes all understanding.
Right.
It's really amazing that when you go through trauma, when you go through certain situations, when he's inside of you, that peace will rise up. Amen?
Yes.
And so, let me just say in closing, I already took too long. What's our mission? People are broken. People out in this world who do not know Jesus Christ need peace. They need the peace that passes all understanding. Let the peace of God that just, you know, passes all understanding, let that be the guard of your heart. Let it allow the peace of God. Colossians 3:15, I believe it is. We have to allow that peace to come out of us and go into other people to share that peace with other people. We're called peacemakers. We're on a mission to bring peace. When Jesus sent his disciples out two by two, he said, whatever town you enter in, if you're welcome into a home, the first thing you say is, Shalom Aleichem. Let your peace be in that place. We are to bring peace into other places, peace to homes. Jesus said, blessed are the hate makers, the peacemakers. We're not talking about being political activists. We're not talking about, you know, being mediators in the political realm. We're talking about being spiritual and going out and helping people on the spiritual level to achieve the peace that they're longing for, that they can't find in drugs, that they can't find in money, that they can't find in relationships with other people or anything else. They're trying to find peace in so many places, yet it's all in the wrong places. They have to come to the person, not the places.
Amen.
And we can guide them to that. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Can you stand up with me? Jesus is our shalom. He is our peace. He is the peace that passes all understanding. And he wants to be your peace. He wants to get inside of your heart. If you've never allowed him to do so, just call on the name of the Lord, and the Bible says it's easy. Call on the name, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's just a matter of crying out to God. You know, if you're in an emergency and there's nobody around and you run out your front door and you start screaming, help, help, right? People will start to come if they hear you, correct? How much more God, when you cry out to him from here in genuineness and say, God, help, save me. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you that you are peace, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I'm asking you to penetrate hearts today, penetrate lives. Lord, we're asking you to please allow peace that passes all understanding. Lord, please remove anxiety from people's hearts today and lives. Please come in. Lord, take control. Give them shalom. Replace that anxiety with yourself. Replace that void with yourself, Lord God. Restore. Bring reconciliation today. Jesus, you are the mediator between God and man. You are the only one, Lord God, that can save. So, Lord, we're asking for people to cry out to you today in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you and the Lord grant you shalom. In Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all God's people said, amen. One last time, turn to one another again. Now with heartfelt, say, shalom aleichem. Amen. God bless you all. Amen.